Today on The Journey.
Women and men share the same spiritual gifts. And quite frankly, if it were not for women using these spiritual gifts, the church would have ceased to exist long ago.
While the organs must all work together for a healthy body, there is a hierarchy of function. The brain cannot live without the heart, but the heart receives its commands from the brain. What that means for Christ's body, the church, is Ron Moore's focus in this half hour. First, a word about Ron's digital booklet called Vital Signs. It's a 60-day checkup on your and your church's spiritual health. It's available for a donation of any amount, and you can get it at ronmoore.org. Your gift today will help further this ministry of developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now here's Ron with the message, Worship, Respecting Our Roles, on The Journey.
We're in a series of teaching through the book of 1 Corinthians, and we've called this series Vital Signs. We believe just as the body has the vital signs of a pulse beat and respiration and temperature and blood pressure, so a church has vital signs as well. And in our passage today, we're going to look at a very important issue of the role of men and women in the church. In Paul's day, where women were treated as second-class citizens, as this new community came to be and as men and women had equal value and equal standing before God and equality in Christ, some confusion started to arise in the church, and Paul had to address the issue. There is still today much debate and much discussion regarding the role of women and men in the church. So go ahead and take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We're going to be looking at verses 2 through 12. Before we do that, I want to set forth some foundational theological truths regarding men and women in Scripture. Women and men are equal image bearers. Besides the biological distinctions, a man and a woman have the same nature, have the same qualities, and have the same abilities. Genesis chapter 1 says this, "So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them." Created in the image of God. What does that mean? Well, one of my professors at Dallas Seminary, Alan Ross, has written a tremendous book called Creation and Blessing on the book of Genesis. And here's what he says. Created in the image means that humans have a spiritual life, ethical and moral sensitivities, conscience and capacity to represent God. So men and women are equal image bearers. They have a spiritual life. They have ethical and moral sensitivities equal before God, conscience and capacity to represent God equally. The first foundational truth then is women and men are equal image bearers. Secondly, women played a significant role in the Old Testament. We won't take time to go through all the stories, but from Eve to Sarah to Rebecca to Rachel to Miriam the prophet, from Deborah who served as a prophetess and a judge, to Esther who God used to save the nation of Israel. These women led and they judged and they left their mark on the history of the Old Testament. Number three, Jesus changed everything. Jesus treated women with honor and dignity. In a time when a woman was viewed as a second-class citizen, Jesus elevated women to an equal standing with men. A loyal group of women accompanied him and the disciples as they went along, causing not a few eyebrows to be raised in that day. In contrast to all the customs of the day, Jesus sat and spoke to a Samaritan woman at the well. And remember what he talked to her about? Worship. Mary, the sister of Lazarus, we are told, sat at the feet of Jesus to learn from him. That was a position in that day that only men could take. Listen to this one. When Jesus walked on earth, a woman's testimony was not legally valid in order to establish a fact in a court of law. A woman's testimony was not legally valid in the court of law. But who did Jesus entrust with the highest privilege of telling the disciples that he had risen from the dead? It was a woman who came and said, "He's alive." Number four. Women and men stand equal at the foot of the cross. Paul says it clearly in Galatians chapter 3. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female. For all of you are equal. All of you are one in Christ. And then one more before we look at our passage. Women and men share the same spiritual gifts. The gifts listed in Romans and 1 Corinthians 12 and Ephesians are not gender specific. So as equal image bearers, as those sharing the same benefits of salvation and spiritual blessing, with that foundational truth, let's go to 1 Corinthians where some things are happening in the church that needed to be dealt with. Chapter 11, verse 2. Paul begins this section by saying, "I praise you for remembering me in everything and holding to the teachings just as I pass them on to you. Now I want you to realize that the head of every man is Christ and the head of the woman is man and the head of Christ is God. Every man who prays or prophesies with his head covered dishonors his head, and every woman who prays or prophesies with her head uncovered dishonors her head. It is just as though her head were shaved. If a woman does not cover her head, she should have her hair cut off. And if it is a disgrace for a woman to have her hair cut or shaved off, she should cover her head. A man ought not cover his head since he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of man. Verse 8, for man did not come from woman, but woman from man. Neither was man created for woman, but woman for man. For this reason, and because of the angels, a woman ought to have a sign of authority on her head. In the Lord, however, women are not independent of man, nor is a man independent of a woman. For as woman came from man, so also man is born of woman, but everything comes from God." Now, what in the world is going on in the church at Corinth? As we go through this passage, we're going to see there are some theological truths that don't change, and we're also going to see that there are some cultural issues that do not apply to us today. And the challenge always in Scripture is to learn what those cultural issues are versus what the unchangeable theological truths are. So let's work our way through the passage. Look at verse 3. Paul says, "And I want you to realize that at the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is man, and the head of Christ is God." The head, he says, of every man is Christ. All of us, man, that's generic, we stand in submission before Christ, each one of us. The head of every woman is man. Man and woman relate to each other in a creative order that we're going to talk about today. And the head of Christ is God. So here Jesus Christ, who is eternal, who is God himself, humbled himself and came to this earth. And while he was on this earth, he lived in submission to the Father. Remember, he said, "I came to do the will of the Father." Now specifically, for the woman and man, the creative order is explained in verses 8 and 9. So let's go back over and look at those. "For the man did not come from the woman, but the woman from the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. For this reason, and because of the angels, the woman ought to have a sign of authority on her head." Now, in order for us to understand this, let's go back to the beginning. Go back with me to Genesis. Look at Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. "The Lord God took the man and he put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and care for it. And the Lord God commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree of the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat it, you shall what? Surely die. So God gives Adam a commandment, instruction, and he leaves it as Adam's responsibility. Now, look at verse 18. The Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. Now, that's so significant because to this point of creation, everything God has created, he says, it was good, it was good, it was good, it was good, it was very good. And now on the sixth day of creation, his crowning creation, he says, it's not good for the man to be alone. Adam being alone did not fit into the purpose of creation. Alone, God could not do with Adam everything that he wanted to do or needed to do. And so the end of verse 18, I will make a helper suitable for him. And every woman says, oh great, I get to be a helper. Do you wish God had used a different word? You shouldn't. Because in Scripture, the word translated helper is a word God uses normally to describe himself. Exodus chapter 18. And the other was named Eliezer, for he said, my father's God was my helper. He saved me from the sword of Pharaoh. Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Look again at verse 18. God made man in a way he needed help. He was incomplete in and of himself. And so he made a helper that was suitable for the man. The word suitable means corresponding to or counterpart or better, in one word, completer. God made a special partner for the man to complete the man because on his own, man is incomplete. And so now with the woman together, there is a completion. And you know the rest of the story. God took from the man's side. Woman was created from man. That's the creative order. Adam created and then woman. That's the creative order that God established. Now, in the creative order, there are responsibilities. There are roles. The man, we see throughout Scripture, is to be the servant leader. The wife is to be an equal partner whose role is the suitable helper, the completer of the man. So together, this partnership is complete. And any time, God's order is reversed, or God's order is ignored, or God's order is abused, there will be confusion and there will be chaos. Let me give you an example. One chapter over, look at chapter 3, verse 6. Satan has come and he has tempted Eve regarding the fruit. And I won't go through the whole story, but look at verse 6. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and she ate it. And then look what happens here. She also gave some to who? Her husband, who was with her. Adam was standing right there. Now, who did God give the instruction not to eat of the fruit of the garden before Eve was created? It was Adam. So Adam had the responsibility to explain this and teach this and also to uphold God's instruction. And here in Genesis chapter 3, where sin enters the world, the roles reversed. And so Eve takes the lead and Adam stands passively by and follows her lead. Eve is deceived. Adam stands passively by and he willfully disobeys. Anytime the role is reversed, servant leader, completer. Anytime it is ignored, anytime it is abused, chaos falls. Well, you say, that's fine, Ron, but you can find many places where men were in charge and it didn't turn out so great. You're right. Because anytime the role is ignored of servant leadership or anytime it's abused, chaos follows and examples are plentiful. You see, God has a plan that works. And this plan follows the creative order. You say, okay, that's fine, Ron. That's marriage, though. We're talking about the church. 1 Corinthians is about the church. The same creative order principles of completion that we see in the beautiful relationship of marriage carry over into, transfer into this community we call the church. Now, certainly it's not a one-for-one transfer. There has to be an appropriate, moral relationship between men and women in the church. But nevertheless, the creative order principles occur. So here you have God creating the first community, the man and the woman. The man is to be the servant leader, the woman is to be the completer. And when that works, it's beautiful. And he says, when that works, then in the community of the church, it's beautiful as well. When it doesn't work, you're going to be chaos. You see, in a community, we can do together what we can never do alone. Look at verses 11 and 12, back in 1 Corinthians. In the Lord, however, woman is not independent of man, nor is man independent of woman. For as woman came from man, so also man is born of woman. For everything comes from God. So we are dependent on each other. To function in community, we have to understand our creative roles, but we're dependent on each other. Now, in this community of 1 Corinthians, some issues were going on because, again, in that day, women were second-class citizens, and now in the church, there is equality and there's an equal standing. And men didn't know how to handle this because in that day, a lot of the men who had become Christians were very heavy-handed in the treatment of their wives. They knew nothing about servant leadership. And so some issues occur. Some confusion is going on. And so Paul addresses the issues of that culture. Look at verses 4 and 5 in chapter 11. Every man who prays and prophesies with his head covered dishonors his head. And every woman who prays and prophesies with her head uncovered dishonors her head. Now, what is Paul talking about there? In that day, in that culture, as in many cultures today around the world, head covering for a woman is the sign of proper respect and honor for her husband. In Paul's day, it was the same thing. In fact, in Paul's day, prostitutes were the ones who had their heads shaved or did not wear head covering. Now, head covering doesn't apply in our culture. Head covering in our culture does not demonstrate respect that it shows in other places of the world. There are other ways in our culture that that respect is shown. But beyond culture, there's still the creative order, because that's a theological principle that doesn't go away. Look at verse 7. A man ought not cover his head, since he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of man. Man is made to bring honor and glory to God. Woman is made also to bring honor and glory to God, but also to complete the man, and in completing the man, bringing honor to the man as well. So there are cultural things that applied in Paul's day that don't apply to us today. But there's that creative order that's not cultural. It's pre-culture. The man's the servant leader. The woman is an equal partner and completer in that relationship. So, how does this work out in the church? When we think of the roles of men and women, there are certain roles we think are reserved for men, and then roles and opportunities for everyone. And I'm going to cover those today. First of all, we believe that the role of elder and deacon are reserved for men. And our conclusion is based on God's creative order and some specific instructions from Scripture. So turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 3. Here are the qualifications for elder and deacon, and I won't go through all of them. Look at verse 1 of chapter 3. Here's a trustworthy saying. If anyone sets his heart on being an overseer, he desires a noble task. Now the overseer must be above reproach, the husband of but one wife. Now in our interpretation, that pretty much narrows it down to the man, the husband of but one wife. Look at chapter 3, verse 12. A deacon must be the husband of but one wife. And so you have some pretty clear instruction. You say, well, wait a second. That must be cultural. Well, it's right in the list of all the qualifications. How can that be culture any more than being above reproach is cultural? Or not being quarrelsome is cultural? Or not being a lover of money is cultural? The rest of the qualifications for leaders. So we believe that the office of elder and deacon are reserved for men. Now there's one other area, and we believe that is being the primary teacher in an adult setting of men and women. Where do we get that? 1 Timothy chapter 2. Paul says, I do not permit a woman to teach or have authority over a man. She must be silent. Now, silent there does not mean a woman will never say anything at all in the church. Silent there refers back to the teaching part. We know that because in 1 Corinthians, we've already read that women are going to be praying and prophesying, and that word prophesy means proclaiming the truth. They're going to be doing that in the church. So we've already seen that women are going to be praying and proclaiming the truth in the church setting. But when it's the primary teaching role, Paul says there's got to be instruction there. Now you say that's cultural. Well, look at verse 13. For Adam was formed first, then Eve. So when Paul gives this instruction, he makes sure that we know it's not cultural because he goes back to the creative order. First, Adam, and then Eve. So when it comes to being an elder, when it comes to being a deacon, when it comes to being the primary teacher in a mixed setting of adults, we believe that responsibility God has given to man. Now, I know there are many churches who have a different theological twist on what we believe to be a theological truth. And we also know that as our messages go out on cable to our community and on radio and just by word of mouth, we get this tag. People say, oh yeah, you're the church where women can't do anything. Now to that tag, let me set the record straight. Whatever your gift is as a woman of God, there is a place for you to be used in a significant and meaningful way. Yes, we hold to servant leadership. Yes, we believe that the roles of elders and deacons are primary teachers are assigned to men. But women, I can promise you, if you want to serve, you can use whatever gift God has given you, and all the gifts listed are for you as well. And you can serve in a fulfilling and a significant way, just as many have done in our past and many are doing now, and we will do in our future. Women have a tremendous impact and a tremendous completing part to play as we do community together.
And please stay with us. Ron returns in a few moments with a special offer. Unity, freedom, and worship are critical measures of the Christian church. Our spiritual health or affliction is proved by how we demonstrate these three virtues. In his PDF devotional titled Vital Signs, Ron Moore offers a checkup for you and your congregation. It's 60 days of spiritual challenges, chart the fragile nature of unity, the delicate use of our freedom in Christ, and the correct expression of public worship. A downloadable copy of Vital Signs is yours for a gift of any amount when you visit ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org. Your gift today will help keep the journey on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now, here's Ron to talk about a special offer for church leaders.
Hey, I want to thank you so much for listening to The Journey. I pray these messages have been encouraging to you. And I just want to share with you, here at The Journey Ministry, we want to do more than simply provide podcasts and broadcasts to our listeners. Our desire is to walk alongside churches and encourage pastors and church leaders. We would love to help you with resources like sermons or discipleship material. And we'd like to encourage you as you lead your church. I've had the privilege of leading the Bible Chapel for 30 years, and I can tell you, I don't have all the answers, but I'd love to encourage you, and I'd love to pray with you as we work together in this greater Pittsburgh area. So send me an email at ronmoore@ronmoore.org. ronmoore@ronmoore.org, and let's just talk, because we believe no leader should have to lead alone.
Again, that address is ronmoore@ronmoore.org. And please remember to get your copy of Ron's PDF devotional titled Vital Signs. It offers a spiritual checkup for you and your congregation. Vital Signs is available for a gift of any amount when you visit us at ronmoore.org. Plus, we invite you to have a look at our church website at biblechapel.org. There you'll find information about our online worship services and special events, along with Ron's recent sermons, devotional thoughts, and podcasts. Again, that address is biblechapel.org. Biblechapel.org. And if the journey has made a difference in your spiritual life, won't you invite your friends and family to listen as well? We'll thank you, and we think they will too. Finally, please keep in mind that the journey relies on your generous donations to remain on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Your gift today will be deeply appreciated. You can give at ronmoore.org, or you may call 724-731-2018. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join Ron Moore next time as we walk together on the journey.